Both of Britain's main political parties supported the war in Iraq. Neither advocates an immediate pullout of coalition forces. As a result, much of the anger generated by the war has been harnessed by my guest today, the founder of the Respect Party. He's been described as a man who glories in his ability to rub people up the wrong way faster than anyone else. But what really motivates George Galloway? George Galloway, welcome to Hard Talk.
Thank you very much.
You had more than 30 years inside the Labour Party, sitting on your own in the House of Commons for the Respect Party. That's not really where you want to be, is it?
No, that's why I'm mainly on the streets. I'm mainly travelling around Britain, making theatre appearances, meeting appearances, leading demonstrations. And I have a national radio show three nights a week. And I do as much television as I can because, frankly, the parliament of poodles and pagers that we have now is very rarely worth being in. I will be there this week in the debate on Iraq. But for the most part, I'm required to either vote for the Prime Minister's motion or David Cameron's amendment, and I seldom wish to vote for either.
But I suppose my bigger point was that you took your career very seriously. You wanted to achieve things in politics, and you presumably wanted to reach a position of power. And now that's completely beyond you.
Sure, but I'm now speaking for the majority in the country, and that's an unusual position for someone
on
the left.
Well, obviously that's arguable, but the point is you are isolated and you're nowhere near power. In fact, you're very isolated.
Sure, but not many people would argue that the majority in Britain are not in my place, saying that the war on Iraq was both a crime and a blunder, saying that we ought to get out of here as quickly as we can. This is consensus now in the country, and of course around the world it's overwhelmingly so. But you're right, if you're asking me, would I rather have been sitting in Downing Street than sitting on the other side as a one-man parliamentary party? Of course the answer to that is yes.
I'm not necessarily asking you that, but I am asking you whether you regret getting thrown out, chucked out of the Labour Party.
Well, in a sense, the alienation had begun much longer ago than that, really dating back to the election of Tony Blair, which I predicted in 1994, after the death of John Smith, would end in tears. And heaven knows, that's another of my predictions that's turned out to be accurate. Mr. Blair is leaving the leadership of the Labour Party. If he's not in tears, most of the members of the Labour Party that remain are in tears. But it's true. I spent 36 years, in fact, in the Labour Party. It was like a stab to the heart to be expelled, but I picked myself up, dusted myself down, and got back on the road. That's the only thing I can do.
You set up this party, Respect. 2004, you founded it. Your website calls it a radical alternative to the rightward march of New Labour that will speak for millions. Isn't there a problem when that sort of rhetoric comes up against harsh reality and there appears to be such a mismatch?
No, I think we are speaking for millions. We are the fastest
growing... Well, you've got one MP and, what, just over a dozen councillors in the entire country?
Actually, we've got 20 councillors, which is a bit more than just over a dozen, and we've got one MP, and no party to the left of Labour has had an MP for 60 years. We've got a higher vote than any left-wing party in Britain's history, including the Communist Party at the height of its power, if you like, after the Second World War. We have the fastest growing student organisation, we've got the busiest website in Britain, and so on. So we are speaking for millions in this sense, that we are the ghost of Labour's past. We say the things Labour used to say, stand for the people Labour used to represent, and therefore we are haunting them. Now, it's true there's not a majority in Britain for old Labour politics, but there's millions in favour of old Labour politics, and we're seeking to represent them.
Without getting too far into old Labour politics generally, let's stick with Iraq for the time being, because there is no denying you struck a chord and you brought out hundreds of thousands, I believe your own party says, well over a million people onto the streets in 2003 to protest the war. But the problem for you is that
2 years after that, there was a general election. Mm. And two-thirds or more of the British public chose either the Labour Party or the Conservative Party, both of which support the war and want to see troops continue in one form or another to play a role in Iraq. So democracy has worked, people have spoken, and in the end, again, I come back to this same point, you're isolated.
No, actually, the majority of people either didn't vote or voted for other than the two main parties. The growth of small parties, and above all the growth of the none-of-the-above party, has left Mr. Blair in Downing Street with the positive support of the smallest number of people in British history. 21% of the electorate voted for Mr. Blair. And he's lost half his members, he lost half his parliamentary majority, and he's leaving 3.5 years early under fire. So it's true we didn't stop the war, it's true we didn't knock the government out in the general election. But the Prime Minister's been knocked out. The mainstream political parties and their system is pretty discredited. Nobody believes a word the government says. And nobody actually is terribly excited about the official opposition either.
But what's
Two
your position?
Of the same backside.
What is your position on Iraq now? Because in the end, your party is defined first and foremost by Iraq. So what's your position now?
If it is first and foremost
by
Iraq...
Well, you wouldn't quarrel with that, would you?
I kind of would, but if it is, we're not going out of business anytime soon, because the war in Iraq and the broader war that it has spread, the conflagration which it has spread in the world, isn't going out anytime soon.
But in Iraq, are you pushing for troops out now?
Of course, yesterday. The only thing the Iraqi people need now from Mr. Bush and Mr. Blair is the sight of the back of the heads of the armed forces they sent in there on a pack of lies, taller than the Tower of Babel itself. The idea that the people who caused this disaster have some role to play in sorting it out is discredited every day. Yesterday was the third heaviest rate of Allied casualties since the war began. This problem's getting worse, not
and
better.
And well over 3,000 Iraqis are dying every month, and many people on the ground who have no alliance to British or American policy believe that when those troops pull out, the killing of Iraqis by Iraqis will get much, much worse.
Well, it's not true that many people believe that. More than 90% of the people of Iraq, according to the opinion polls taken under the noses of the occupation, say that they want the occupation to end. The puppet regime inside the Green Zone, which is the group that most journalists talk to and most ministers talk to, they definitely want the troops to stay, because they will hang from the lampposts as soon as the occupation forces leave. So the reality on the ground is that, as Major General Sir Richard Dannatt told us,